Jesus Christ, my living hope. Psalm 62. This is a psalm that David wrote, and I'm sorry, I never said welcome to everyone on Zoom as well. Thanks, Aileen. It's so wonderful to have her. She's going away for a break for the next 3 weeks, and she really deserves it. But anyway, praise God. Psalm 62. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. And you know, in this situation, David was facing very real human enemies, physical enemies who wanted to kill him. But you know, the power behind those people was a spiritual enemy, the enemy, the devil. And, you know, he has demons assigned to attack people, attack families, attack nations, attack communities, you know, attack even workplaces to cause strife, division, cause anger, resentment, bitterness, all kinds of confusion, cause lack, cause breakdown of relationships, you know, marriages and children. So, you know, reading this, you can say, well, that was David back then, and he was, you know, fighting people with arrows and spears and all kinds of swords. But the thing is that it was still a spiritual enemy that was driving those people to do this. And that devil has not given up. He hates God's people. And, you know, his way and methods have not changed. He has no new tricks. He's not a creator. And so he spills out the same old, you know, generation from generation to generation, the same old attacks and tricks to sabotage God's people and to stunt them and to discourage them or dishearten them or break them and make them give up, you know. And so many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. Psalm 62. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. And you can be sure of that. You know, that the enemy has a plan to pull you down, to drag you down, to bring disgrace, to bring dishonor, to try and you know, cause something to happen to make you want to give up. Because in Daniel, the Word of God tells us that Satan's agenda is to wear down the saints. And so, you know, as we come together, as we fellowship together, as we pray for one another, as we, you know, minister to the Lord here in His presence, what happens is that we're being given, we said, you know, on Thursday night, it's almost like being given a spiritual IV. You're attached to this drip that's feeding you with nourishment or with fluids or medicine or whatever it is, you know, and that brings life to your body. And the Word of God and the presence of God, it brings life to people. And it's a very different life to what we've been used to or what we've been groomed into, you know, in the physical realm. Our spiritual walk with God, our strength comes from our spirit. And you see, there are many people and they're giving up. They're you know, suicidal or depressed, or they're sick in their bodies, or they've, you know, walked away from relationships or marriages or whatever, simply because they just can't take it anymore. And because they've been fighting their enemies in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And our flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. But as we spend time in God's word, what happens is that we get spiritually fed with His nourishment. Mm-hmm. And we look at things in a very different way. We might still be in the same circumstances, you know, difficult circumstances, but now we have a hope. Just like Aileen sang, that living hope. We have a living hope, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He is our salvation. He's our Savior. He's our brother. He's our friend. He's our Redeemer. He's the one who gave His life to ransom us back from the powers and principalities of darkness, from Satan and his kingdom. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Praise God, His marvelous light. You know, it says in the Word of God that God dwells in light. And that light dwells with him, sorry, and that in him is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so, you know, that's how somebody can be a Christian, can be strong in the Word of God, and can be in the middle of intolerable conditions, you know, where other people fall. But that person can stay strong and stay standing because they know that God is with them, that he's for them, Amen. That they have the victory, and that Jesus Christ will bring them out the other side. Amen. And so this is why David was just recounting where his strength lies. That's why he said, I wait quietly before God, because my victory comes from him. He is my rock. You think of that rock, you know, and that David is just clinging to that rock until this storm passes. And you know, it's the being able to hang on to the rock that kept him strong and kept him steady and kept him alive. And so in verse 4, he's saying about these enemies, they plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. Will you say that? My hope is in him. My hope is in Jesus. Yes. He alone is my rock and my salvation. So David here, David was the king. You know, you think about this in the reality of who David was, of all that he accomplished, of all that was given to him. The whole kingdom of the nation of Israel was his. He was the leader. He was, you know, and yet David had learned something. He had learned humility. That's why he was escalated to that place by God, because he was humble before God. God said that David was a man after his own heart. And you know, David, it says in another place, that David was quick to repent. Hallelujah. Don't you like that about him? David was a very real person. He wasn't some, you know, holier than thou sort of special child person. David was a very real, normal person. But the thing is that here you can see the humility. And that's why David was made king, because he was humble. And he said, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. You know, that scripture has stayed with me for 20 years or more. Every time I think of it, you know, that David said that, my victory and honor come from God alone. Amen. That's the height of humility. But you know, the thing about it is that what the world teaches us is the height of pride, proud, arrogant, you know. And so the thing is that the kingdom of God, when we come into the kingdom of God, when we come into God's family, we learn humility, because that's what Jesus told us in Matthew 11. He said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest, and learn from me, for I am humble and meek. And people think of that and they put Jesus as this sort of poor guy who only had sandals and a donkey. You know, and so they have this totally religious wrong mindset about who Jesus is. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. But he humbled himself and became one of us. He gave up all of his divine privilege, all of his, you know, everything that he was entitled to. He gave it up to come here as one of us and to live and breathe and move on this earth the same as you and me do, to work, to learn, to be teachable. And he humbled himself even at the point of death, and he said, Father, not my will be done but yours. You know, and even when he was on the cross and all those people were spitting at him and they had beaten him, they had mocked him, they had savaged him. You know, we can't imagine the brutality of what Jesus faced, and he faced it alone. And on the cross, even when he looked at them and when they were shouting at him, save yourself, these people that he came to save, you know, they weren't, you know, maybe just soldiers or common people. These were the priests. These were the people in high positions, and they mocked him and laughed at him and said, let him come down, let him save himself. And Jesus humbled himself. He didn't retaliate. Mm-hmm. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so humility is probably the greatest lesson that we can learn from Jesus, to be like Jesus. It's something we all struggle with, like, to be honest, because that flesh, the way the enemy operates in the flesh is that our flesh rises up. We get offended very easily. Again, all of you look really holy and sort of, I can see that there's none of you that have struggled with it. I'll just talk about myself. I get offended, I get mad, I get whatever, you know, but that's pride rising up in us. But he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Think about that. Think about the shaking that's going on in the world, and the shaking that, is cyclical. It happens, over and over again. There's times, great times, and there's bad times. And there's times where people have plenty, there's times where people have lack. But imagine that Jesus is the fortress. You think of Ross Castle below. That was a fortress in Killarney. It was built by the McCarthy family back in like the year 1000 or something, or 1100, was it, or something like that, or it's 1100 years old. Anyway, and they had it as a fortress and as a lookout in case any of their enemies came across the lake to try and attack them and to take their territory. Well, that's what a fortress is, and Jesus Christ is our fortress where we will not be shaken, where the enemy cannot reach you. This place of security, of intimacy, of protection. And, it's the thing that people long for most in the world is stability, peace and protection. You know, it's the thing that the enemy uses to frighten people. People are frightened nowadays about their personal safety, about their children's future, about banks, mortgages, money, different things. And the thing is that we'll always have those things. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so in him we have this security that we know that God will work out all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That he will perfect that which concerns me. That he will contend with him who contends with me. And he will save my children. They are God's promises. And that's why we need his word. And that's why we need to be, drenched in his word, soaking in it and studying it. Because, we go out in the world and it's like the balloon. The world is waiting with the pin to just, put that pin into that balloon and burst your bubble. And you come back and, you're flattened again. And then God is here with his spiritual pump and he pumps up that balloon again. And that's where how we can stay standing. And God is having you to stand. And like we said a few weeks ago, you're still standing. You think back on your life and on all the things that have happened, all the near misses you've had, all of the tough times you've had, all of the trouble or the pain or the heartache. And look at you, you're still standing. Amen. Praise God. Are you breathing? Are you breathing?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you are. Praise the Lord. So my victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people. This is David calling to the people to listen. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. People pay money and they go to see counselors, they go to see psychiatrists and psychologists, they go to retreats, and they go, somewhere to find peace and to be able to unload. And the thing about it is, you don't need to go anywhere. You can unload to God, because he's the one who can actually do something about it. And human help, human flesh can only go so far. But God is the one who can turn situations around. He's the God who gives life to the dead things. That's what Abraham noticed about him, is that God gave life to the dead things, and he calls those things that are not as though they are. So no matter if some dreams or some relationships or some financial situation looks like it's dead and hopeless, what you need to do is to study God's word. Study Ezekiel chapter 37, where Ezekiel saw the vision of God showing him the valley of dead, dry bones. just bones scattered everywhere. And God said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, only you know that, God. And he said, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to these bones. So Ezekiel did as he was told, and he prophesied to the bones, and he says, bones, you live, because God said so in Jesus' name, you know. Yeah. And suddenly it says there was a massive rattling sound, and all of the bones across the whole valley started to come together and came into perfect human bodies, back with flesh and sinews and tendons and muscles back on them. And then God said, can these dead bodies live? And Ezekiel said, well, you've done this much, God, so I guess you know. And so he said, prophesy to the wind, to the Ruach, the Spirit of God. And so Ezekiel prophesied, Ruach, Spirit of God, come breathe into these bodies. And it said that God sent the wind of his Spirit, breathed it up their nostrils, and they stood up on their feet, a great and mighty army. Hallelujah. He's the God who gives life to the dead things. And he brings hope, you know. And this is what the enemy does, is he tries to mush your dreams into the ground and tell you you're nobody. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You'll never be anything. You know, whether it's been people who've told you that, family perhaps, parents, teachers even, or people in authority, bosses. You know, you've got to be careful about how you speak to people, because our words have power. Yes. And when we're releasing words over somebody, we are, you know, either cursing them or blessing them. But the thing about it is that what we have spoken out on other people, that we're opening ourselves up to that same judgment. And so, you know, many people, their worlds have been framed by words that were spoken over them. And years ago, I think it might be 33 years ago now, there was a lady who, you know, asked for prayer here. Her family did. And she had been given 3 weeks to live. A no hope case. No hope. She had cancer all over her body. And her family couldn't cope, because she had been just given that death sentence. And she was just in a state of utter terror. She wasn't sleeping, eating. She was just around the house all day, every day, screaming, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And nobody, you know, her family were just at the end of their tether. So somebody said that Pastor Joe here prayed with people. So they asked, is there any hope at all? He called to see this one, to see could he do something. And so he couldn't do nothing, but he brought the message of the rock, of salvation, of the fortress where you shall not be shaken, of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our healer, our Lord. And so he went to this house, and the poor man, the husband, answered the door. And Joe said that the man was utterly disheveled. It looked like he hadn't eaten or slept or washed in a few weeks. She had been given 3 weeks to live, and the 3 weeks was up today. And he went in and he heard her before he saw her. She was screaming, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. It's like that almost she had a mental breakdown from it. And anyway, it was Christmas Eve, and the husband looked at Joe and he said, is there any hope that I could leave you here with her for just 1 hour? I need to go to town. We have nothing in the house. There's no food here and or anything. And Joe said, go on away, no problem. And, you know, when he left, the woman still continued with the screaming. And Pastor Joe, he tried to talk to her and she wouldn't listen. So eventually he caught her face like this and he said her name. And her name was Nora. And he said, Nora, listen to me. And she got a fright when he shouted at her. And he said, I'm going to pray with you and we're going to ask God to heal you. And she was in a shock. So she stopped for a minute. And as he prayed, Holy Spirit, because you know the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals everything. He said, Holy Spirit, will you show me what's going on here? We come to you today in the name of Jesus for Nora. And he said instantly, he got a picture of a little girl with long blonde hair in plaits, two plaits, with a blue dress. And she was standing in the corner of her room with a dunce's hat on her head. You know those pointy hats they used to put on children long ago when they got something wrong in school, and the letter D was on the hat, and so as a punishment you had to wear the hat, stand in the corner and let the whole place know that you were stupid. And he saw this picture of this little girl and he said, "Nora, I've just seen something in the spirit, a picture of it," and he explained what it was. He said, "Is that you?" And over the picture he saw, it was just a flash of an image, and over the picture he saw the word inferiority. He said, "Nora, do you struggle with inferiority?" Mm-hmm. And she burst into tears and she said, "That was me." And she said, I never told anybody that. And she said, "I've struggled with it my whole life. So much so, that she hated anybody putting attention on her or anything. But that thing had eaten away at her. And it physically manifested in her body as disease. Because as you know, when your body has been affected, when your person is affected by something, it causes your body or your mind or your emotions to be at dis-ease. That's what the word disease means. Your body should be at ease, rest, but it becomes diseased. And so he prayed a simple prayer with her, bound the spirit of cancer, bound the spirit of death, bound the words that were spoken by the doctors, giving her that death sentence. In the picture he saw a hand, a finger waving at this girl, saying, "You will never do anything. You will never be anything in life. You will never go anywhere." And he saw that finger and he heard those words, and she said, "Yeah, that's what she said to me that day." And funny enough, Nora actually went on to become a teacher herself, but she was retired now at this stage. But anyway, when he prayed with her, he bound the power of those words. He broke them off her life. And it was like he was looking at a different woman, he said. And she looked at him and she said, "Joe, I never made you a cup of tea." And she went and made him a cup of tea. The husband came back after a while. And when he walked into the house, he kind of looked. And he looked at his wife, who was now sitting down in her sound mind, having tea. And he said, "What did you do with my wife?" And Joe said, "She's healed." And anyway, that was Christmas Eve. And a year to the day, on Christmas Eve the following year, he got a phone call, and it was Nora. And she said, "Joe, I've meant to phone you with so long." But she said, "I've come down today from St. Luke's Hospital in Dublin for my 1 year checkup with the all clear." Never had any trace of cancer when she went back to the doctors. And that was a year later. She was alive and well, having been given 3 weeks to live. The power of God, and that's what we're looking for, is God's power in our life, because we have no power. And, he said, this is what David went on to say here. He said, "Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be." And that's the truth. You see any person who's great and mighty, big people, celebrities, people who've been given great accolades and great success in this life. The minute they close their eyes on this earth, they look like just anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's just a corpse lying there. All of us are exactly the same. And the thing is that the people may be given great things on this earth to steward. And if they've stewarded it well for God, praise the Lord. But many of them are trusting in those riches, trusting in their power. And that's what we're seeing playing out on the world stage. You have globalist leaders who think they're invincible. Mm-hmm. And God help us. One day when they close their eyes on this earth, they will find out they weren't invincible at all. And that, but we just believe for their salvation, really. If you weigh them on a scales, if you weigh these powerful people on a scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion. That means don't use people, don't abuse people, don't wrong people. Or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. This is David giving his wisdom to his people. Power, O God, belongs to you. Amen. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. And that's the truth. Is any power that we have, any success we have, any achievements we have, any, you know, great things that we have in our lives, just like we sang that song, You're Such a Good Father. Anything that we have in this life has come from Him. And the good has come from Him. And as we honor Him, as we thank Him, as we are grateful, grateful for what we have, for where we are, for who we are. You know, the fact that you're up and alive and breathing today. Amen. The fact that you were able to eat a breakfast today. You know, we passed Crumlin Hospital there yesterday. Think of all those children that are inside there and having untold kind of trauma and things. My brother was there for years. And you know, it's a traumatic place to be. Think of people who can't get out of the bed today. You're out of the bed and you're here. Yeah, maybe everything isn't perfect, but praise God. You know, God it will work it and He will turn it around. Amen. Amen. And just finally, I just want to share one scripture. How are we fixed for time? Great.
Lots of it.
Lots of it. Isaiah chapter 60. And I heard the Lord speak, I believe God spoke this scripture to me this week in Isaiah 60. And it's verse 17. Well, it's kind of the back end of 16, the latter half of 16. Isaiah 60, 16, sort of B, say, you will know at last that I am the Lord, that I am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And you know, Redeemer, the word Redeemer, Jesus is our Redeemer, and He came to redeem us. You think of a pawn shop and people go in and they sell, you know, a ring or something, a watch, because they need a bit of cash and they don't have it at the moment. So they pawn their thing they have and so they can go back then once they have the money and they can redeem it once they can pay back what the money that the agreement that they had. And so this is what Jesus did. He redeemed us. He bought us back from where Satan had carried us. But this time there was no doubt about it. We were washed and cleansed by His blood and made right with God. And so we've been fully redeemed and ransomed, never again to be lost. Praise God. And so He said in verse 17, I will exchange your bronze for gold, your iron for silver, your wood for bronze, and your stones for iron. And what that means is, whatever you have accomplished in your flesh, or whatever you have, you know, God will make it better. So Amen. Instead of bronze, He will make it into gold. Instead of iron, He will give you silver, which is more precious. Amen. There's a precious exchange. For what we can offer God is pitiful, really. But you know, what He wants us to offer Him is our lives, just to give Him our life and say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours and I receive you as my Savior. And what happens there is there's a connection made in our spirit between God's spirit and us. And it's the Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of us. And now we are His. Amen. You're safe and protected. You're, you know, and everything, you know, they talk about the Midas touch. You know, people say, oh, they have the Midas touch. Everything they touch prospers. But the thing is, that's only in the flesh. But with God on your side, you know, everything that you touch will prosper. Amen. Everything that you touch will, because God will work it out. Now, there may be a journey on the way there. And the journey is to train you and to teach you. You know, He's not sending you sicknesses or diseases to teach you or hardship. But the thing is that God will always turn around these situations where Satan has attacked somebody. But we will learn things through them, you know. And He says there, I will make peace your leader. Imagine that. And righteousness your ruler. So that we have a different type of taskmaster. Whereas in the world, the taskmasters are, you know, harsh and punishing. But as with God as our master and Lord, what our ruler is peace and righteousness, right standing with God, holiness, stability. Praise God, and no money can buy that. And he goes on to say there in verse 18, violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. This is spiritually he's talking here. You know, where violence has, where the enemy has been violently attacking you, where there has been destruction against the things that God has planned for you. God will turn those things around. And he says, salvation will surround you like city walls. You know that word salvation there? It translates from the Hebrew to mean Yeshua. Who's Yeshua? Jesus Christ. So Jesus will surround you like city walls. You think of any city you go to, ancient cities like Derry or, you know, different cities in Britain or in France even. They have, many of them have ramparts, those huge, huge city walls. And, you know, long ago, people in the cities would build their houses up against those walls. So those walls were impenetrable to the enemy. And so he's saying that just as those walls surround those cities to keep them safe, Yeshua will surround you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And no longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night. For the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will not go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end, and all your people will be righteous. So you know, there's promises there from God, and you can speak that word over your life. Father, you promised me that you would exchange those feeble things that I have, you know, the feeble success that I have achieved, Lord, that you will transform it into us by your supernatural power into something that would bring you glory. Lord, you said you'd make my leader peace. Lord, as I go into this meeting, as I go to work today, as I deal with this situation in my family, I ask you that you would lead me with your shalom, that you would fill me, that you would take over control in this situation with your peace and your power, Lord, that righteousness would have its way here, Lord, that there would be justice and truth, Lord, that every agenda of the enemy would be exposed. Lord, you said that I wouldn't have to rely on the physical lights to light my way, that you are my glory light, that you are my everlasting light. And so, Lord, I pray that you would shine your glory light into this situation to expose the works of darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how we pray, and this is how we take the word of God and proclaim his and declare his promises. Mm-hmm. To see real and meaningful change. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, we don't want to just have some kind of a religion, a place where you go in and out of and you come out and it's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You want to come in and be souped up, you know, with that pumped up to the last, given all those spiritual IVs, nourished and thriving, and then go back out and face it that, you know, that way. Praise God. You're a victor. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So we praise God. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And I know, Lord, that healing, it belongs to Adele. In the name of Jesus. Because Jesus, you won it for her at the cross, Lord Jesus. You were beaten and bruised and broken that Adele would be put back to life and brought wholeness and strength in Jesus' name. So we speak and we release healing to flow to Adele today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we speak life over Adele from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, we release your power, Lord, your healing power into her. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, today. She receives that power.
Yes.
She receives your healing, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, and we praise you. She is healed and set free. Yes. She is restored.
Yes.
Lord, you will restore to her the years that the locust has
yes.
stolen.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father. You are a restorer. You are her redeemer.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, for a mighty breakthrough for her. Peace and joy.
Yes.
Your joy to rise up inside of her, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and mighty name.
Amen.
And we pray for anyone that is sick today, Lord Jesus. People that are in a terrible situation, that their backs are to the wall, that they have nowhere to turn, Lord. We pray that they will cry out to you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, as your spirit is moving in this land, Lord, north, south, east, and west. that they will feel your presence, Lord. They will feel your, they will know that your prayers, they will know that there's somebody praying for them, Father, yes, in the name of Jesus. And they will grab a hold of it, Lord, as it's passing, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We raise up Oisin to you today, Lord. We speak life over him in the name of Jesus. We bless that child today. We speak complete restoration for him in the name of Jesus. We bless his parents and his family in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you for everyone, Lord, today that is sick and that is not enjoying the full life, the Jesus that you died to give them. Well, Lord, we pray for that fullness of life to come to them today, Father. It is not your will that anyone be thrown in bed or sick or oppressed or depressed. We speak life over people today that have depression and anxiety and hopelessness, and that they're looking at themselves and thinking everyone else around them has it all but themselves, that there's something extremely wrong with them. Lord, we pray for that those lives to be broken today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We speak healing over them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because you are a healer, Lord, and when the sun sets free, it's free indeed. We pray for children with autism and with disabilities, and Lord, that are struggling. And we pray for all those children with ADHD and all those things, Lord, that are cropping up every single day. You hear it, another child with it. Lord, we pray for those, for healing for those children in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We pray healing for people with blind eyes. We pray for blind eyes to be open in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. People in wheelchairs that are crippled, we pray life into them, Father. We pray for their bones to come alive. We pray for, we pray the Ruach of God to touch them in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. We pray for people with addictions today, Jesus. We pray, Lord, for people that are bound up in addiction, that are just waiting to get that next thing just to make them feel good, to be able to survive the day. God, we pray that when the next time that they're going for those things, Lord, that you will meet them and that they will have a mighty, mighty encounter with you, Jesus, that they will get that thing that they're looking for all their lives, and that is you, Jesus. We speak complete healing and restoration for those people that are tormented day in, day out, looking for those drugs and those alcohol and all those things, and for their parents and for their spouses and children that are dealing with it and putting up with it. Father, we pray for breakthrough and complete, that they would see their loved ones completely set free from those things, Father. Because those things are not of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we thank you now, Lord, for healing to flow in this place and in this land, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because you are our healer, Jesus. You are our redeemer, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Lord, we proclaim and declare your shalom peace over Eden, Lord.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Just like to encourage you just to take a moment, just to quieten down for a second. Because, you know, all of us, we have like these backpacks on every day. And there's various backpacks, you know, there's different things that the enemy tries to put on us as burdens. Yesterday, one of the preachers spoke and asked people to quieten down, and it's something I do a lot myself, because I find that it's when you quieten down that you can hear the Lord speaking to you. And yesterday, when we had just that, like, literally 30 seconds of silence, of a moment of quietness, I wasn't thinking about anything, and I just thanking the Lord really in my head. And the next thing, I got a picture of I presume it was myself, but I just saw the Lord Jesus like catching up a body off the ground that was utterly fatigued, exhausted, just totally hopeless. And I just saw him, just saw a picture, just a flash of an image in my mind of Jesus holding me, you know, the way that somebody, and like, because it's funny, because I'm a big girl and fine, strong girl, as they say. My father used to sing a song when I come into the kitchen and made me very conscious of my height and size. There used to be an ad on years ago on TV for calf feed for cows. And it used to sing, if you want them big, you got to feed them bloom. So my father used to sing that every time I came into the room. And but I just saw this picture yesterday, and I laughed like because that Jesus had me up in his arms, like almost his one hand under my legs and one hand under my head, and he had me like this. And he brought me, I just saw him putting me down in, just as what Psalm 23 says. He brings me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he restores my soul. And so your soul is your mind, your emotions, those racing thoughts, the things that give people no tormentations, strife or stressful situations that are going on. And it says that Jesus, that he makes us to lie down in those green pastures. So I just want you to just rest for a minute and just allow the Lord to minister to you. And just picture that green pasture, that green field, all those beautiful wildflowers and that stream of living water, the quiet, still waters that are just there, and that God is just bringing refreshment to your mind, to your soul. And that as you like hand over, those things that you can do nothing about, those situations that are bothering you or worrying you, that you give them to him, and that he's our provider, he's our shepherd, and he gives us everything we need. And he actually lays a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So even your enemies are still there, but God has put this table there before you. And I just ask you today, as we quieten down for a minute, just to eat from that table and allow the Lord to bring you nourishment and to bring you that rest. Amen. I just speak to all tension to leave your body in the name of Jesus. I command every trace of anxiety or racing thoughts, any kind of fear, any kind of stressful things that the enemy has been bringing, any kind of things that have been causing discomfort in your body, any pain. I speak right now for every spirit of pain, bursitis, bound and cast out in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting thought, every hopelessness or any kind of sense of failure, I break it off you in the name of Jesus. I break all tension, all anxiety, all headaches, all stress, even in your neck. In your shoulders, I command all your skeletal frame, your discs and your vertebrae, go back in their correct position in the name of Jesus. And I just speak the peace and the shalom of God upon you. And I declare, Lord, that you are our good shepherd and that you are our provider of everything we need, Father. Everything that we need, you provide it. And Lord, we just release our thanks to you today, our worship. And what better way to do that than in the words of Jesus? The disciples, they connected the power that Jesus operated in with his prayer life. And that's why they asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's when, people think that it's a prayer as in like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name, that kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And they rattle it off like that. But it's not. It's the words of Jesus teaching them a key or an insight into how to connect with the Father, to worship him, to thank him, to glorify him. And then he brings all your needs because of that. Amen. So Lord, I praise you today as we close, Lord, that you would take your people home today with a fresh infilling of your strength, your power that no foe can withstand, because power belongs to you, O God. And Lord, that they will have a spring in their step, Lord, and that they will see your hand moving in those situations that have been causing them aggro in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
The Lord will bless us. The Lord will keep us. The Lord will make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace, his shalom. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Your kingdom come quick.
Thank you.